Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Ah, that was good. I like that. I heard a lot of you say, hey, good morning this morning. It must be a good morning. Amen?
Amen.
I believe so. I woke up this morning expecting there to be a few inches of snow. And we were thinking about this last night because we're doing a Revelation series in South Lake Tahoe and Heavenly in about 3 weeks, and one of the things we did on the advertisement was we said, if you RSVP ahead of time, we'll give you a free day of snow removal.
Oh.
And so we were thinking, you know, last night, oh man, we're supposed to get about, you know, 5 to 8 inches of snow. We're supposed to get up early in the morning and go get the shovels out and the snow blower out and clear some yards here. But thankfully, it didn't snow too much for us anyway. I know everyone else wants snow, but we were like, oh, praise the Lord for a little extra sleep this morning. But anyway, I'm glad for today. I'm really excited to be here, excited to share God's word. I'm excited to be able to hear what God is doing. Amen?
Amen?
I love hearing testimonies and praises. God is moving in a powerful way, and we ought to give Him more praise. Amen?
Amen.
We really should. I was on the airplane a few weeks ago, and I was heading somewhere, and I handed a lady sitting next to me a little tract. How many of you guys have heard of Glow, by the way? Most of us here, hopefully. I gave her a little Glow track there, and I asked her, oh yeah, she said, oh yeah, I've seen this before. I've seen it before. Actually, I live in Reno, and someone came by my home. I mean, and they were talking about the Bible and talking about these little tracks here, and I actually invited them to come into my house, and we sat down for about an hour and talked, but I had to go to work, so I had to stop talking to them. But I really am interested in this stuff here, and do you have more of these? And I, of course, gave her some more, and I was just encouraged because I see that God is moving. Amen? Through little means, little tracks like this, He's allowing people to receive them and be blessed by them. So I'm happy for that. I want to ask a question before I get into the message this morning. How many people in the congregation this morning are between the ages of 15 and 35? Just raise your hand. Okay, a few. Wonderful. Wonderful. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see more of that age group in our church. Amen? I saw about 4 or 5 hands. I praise God for that. And for those of you that raised your hands, we were actually formulating an army of young people this summer to go out and share God's message in a powerful way. So if you're interested in that, please speak with me afterwards. It's called Youth Rush. And I'm really excited about what God is doing for that program that's starting soon with the young people. I'm also excited about what's happening today with Battlefield Hollywood. Amen. That's powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. So I hope you guys will be here tonight for that as well, and the dinner as well at 6. So we're going to get in the Word of God this morning. I'm excited to open the Scriptures, and I hope you are as well. I hope you've got your Bible, and we will begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in desperate need of a blessing from your Spirit. Lord, we are empty vessels, Lord, that cannot be used, that are worthless without you. So I pray this morning that you would please, Lord, enter into this building as you already have been here, dear God, but not only being here in the building, enter into our hearts. May our hearts be touched. May you break up the fallow ground of our hearts and allow the waters of Christ, the waters of the life of Jesus, to flow into us. I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, Lord, for you know there's not one good thing in me. May your words alone be heard this morning. It's my prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The title of this morning's message is Love in Action. What is it? It's a little bit different than this one or in the bulletin. I've changed it. The Spirit of God moved upon me. I had to change it this morning. Love in Action is the title of this morning's message. And I believe it's important for us to understand what love truly is, because this whole God thing is about what?
Love.
Well, it should be anyway. It's about love. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, God is love. God is love. I remember the one time there was a man who oftentimes spent time in bars and got drunk often, and he would come home at night, and he had a wife and two young children. And he would come home, and he would knock on the door, and he would come in and be all crazy and drunked out, and he would yell at the kids and the wife and all kind of stuff like that. And the next morning, he would wake up and say, "Oh, I'm sorry for what I did. I was out of my mind. I love you guys." Well, the wife, after having this happen time and time again, over and over again, she began to get tired of this treatment. So one night, he came home, and he was, of course, drunk again, and he went to open the door, but guess what happened?
It was locked.
The door was locked. And so he began to bang on the door, saying, "Honey, honey, open the door, open the door." No answer. He went around to the windows around the house, saying, "Honey, open the door, open the door." No response. He began to say, "Honey, I love you. I love you. Please let me in. Let me in." She responded, "You say you love me? Really? Oh, yes, I love you. I love you. Please just let me in. It's cold out here. Please let me in. I love you. I love you." And the wife said, "Well, if you love me, please show me. Please show me." Our love is not something that's simply a word that should come out of our mouths, but it actually should be demonstrated in our actions, in our lives. So what does true love look like? What is the love that God is desiring to give us? What does that actually look like? We're going to do a little bit of exegesis here this morning. We're going to go to the Bible, Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that I believe is very important for us. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to see what it really means here. Love in action. The Spirit is willing. The Spirit is willing. You know, oftentimes I come into churches and I hear testimonies of individuals. And these testimonies encourage me because they are testimonies about how God has brought someone to Jesus. Right? But I hear many testimonies, and even my own included, and I hear testimonies of people that say, "Yeah, I was over here in church. I grew up in church, but while I was in church, I didn't see Christ in church. I didn't see love in church. I saw a lot of profession out of the lips, but I didn't see a whole lot of love demonstrated in actions toward people." Does that happen sometimes? I know I've been guilty myself. And I believe God's calling us as a church to be a church that's full of His Spirit. Amen? When people walk into church, they should be like, "Oh, wow, this is a church that's full of happy people, people that are excited about what God is doing." Amen?
Amen.
Because, I mean, I know that we all have problems, right? We all have trials and tribulations and hard times that we go through in our lives. But with all those things that we have going on, we have a Savior who will never leave us or forsake us. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, "Let your conversation be not with covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you, nor forsake you.'" Amen? So no matter what's going on in our lives, we can have confidence in the fact that God is with us. So when people come into this place, they should see a people who are trusting God, having peace in God, and are able to allow the trials to be put aside and say, "God, you know what? You're in control." Amen? You're in control. We're in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, looking at verse 36. When you get there, you can say amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Many people are there. It says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called" what?
Gethsemane.
What does that word mean? Exactly right. It means an oil press or a wine press. In this garden, there were many olive trees. It's the garden of olives and such. And so there was also a press in there. And this whole garden was called the Garden of Gethsemane or the wine press. And it kind of illustrates what's going to happen to Jesus as He's here in this place. Let's continue on. And He said to His, what? To His disciples. What is a disciple? a follower of Christ. How many of you are disciples of Jesus Christ? Raise your hands in the air. Amen. Praise God. A disciple, I heard the definition from you, is a follower of Jesus. You follow in the footsteps of Christ. So if Christ himself is walking along the street, walking down this way and doing certain things, what are you doing? You're following him, right? You're right in line with him, right in step with him. So I can imagine, like, the disciples, like, as they're following Jesus, I'd be like, because it was like kind of like, you know, crowds all around and everything, like, and I would be like, you know, trying to like make sure I stay close to him, like, oh, what is he saying? Let me hear. You know, and just being close to Christ because I knew that powerful things came from him. I like to illustrate it this way. I have a friend, he's a much older friend than me. His name is Larry Carter. Any of you know Larry Carter? No, that's okay. You don't need to know him. He's my boss basically at the union level of our church. And Larry, ever since I met him, I always enjoyed him so much. So much. And you know why? Whenever I see him, he always feeds me. Like, always. Like, no matter whenever I see him, he's always taking me out to eat, here or there, or we're always going out to eat. So this past week, I was with him, actually, and he took us out to eat lunch, and I was like, okay, great, great. So we had lunch, and the meetings were over, and everyone's dispersing, but I'm not dispersing yet, because I, you know, it's about 5 hours since I've eaten, so I'm like, okay, where's Larry? Let me go and find him. And so I basically just followed, here I had to, you know, had to do little meetings here with individuals and talk with people. I basically, let me just follow him around, you know, and just wait around just to see where he goes. And when he leaves, I'm leaving with him because I know where he goes, there's going to be food. And I was happy about that. And so, of course, at the end of the night, we end up eating together, praise the Lord. And but that is a small illustration of why you would follow someone. They were following Jesus because they knew that he had a blessing for them. Amen? It was worth the wait. It was worth following him, and they were true disciples. Now, disciples does not simply mean a follower of Christ. Hold your finger there in Matthew 26, and let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. What else does it mean to be a disciple? What else does it mean to be a disciple? We're going to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 40. When you get there, you can say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Luke 6, verse 40, the Bible says there, and a disciple is not above his what? His teacher or master. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be what? Will be like his teacher. So we see here a principle. It does not only mean that we ought to follow Christ as disciples of Christ, but the ultimate goal is to become what? Like him. To be an example for Jesus. When Christ died and resurrected, his disciples were left upon the earth. And they began to preach and teach everywhere. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, whoa, these are unlearned and uneducated men. But we know that they have been with Jesus. It was evident, it was obvious that they had spent time with Christ because Christ's character was flooding upon them as well. So a disciple is to become not only a follower of Christ, but also like Christ. How many of you want to become like Christ? Amen? I know I do. That's what a true disciple is. So in Matthew, we're going back to Matthew now. Matthew 26, looking at verse 36. Remembering the title here, Love in Action. We're in verse 36 still, and now we're hitting the red letter words where Christ is speaking in verse 36. It says, sit here while I go and pray over there. Verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to what? Even to death. Stay here and what? Watch with me. Stay here and do what? Watch with me. So what is he asking them to watch? Let's read a little further. Think about that question. Let's read a little bit further. Look what it says here. We're in verse 39 now. He went a little further and and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Verse 40. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So my question is, Christ said twice to them, first, come with me and watch with me. Then after he found them sleeping, he says again, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. What is he asking them to watch? I think this is an important question, simply because this is the instruction of Christ right before he is going to die. And he's telling his disciples in that time, they need to watch and pray. But I'm thinking that we as disciples now need to do the same thing, right? I would think so. So what does he mean when he says to watch? What is he talking about there? I heard something. Pay attention. Ooh.
Be prepared.
To be prepared. Ah. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. To watch how love really exemplifies itself. Good. See, yes, back there in the back. Praying that Satan would not overcome them. Good. Many people have said different things about this verse here. Like, you need to watch for the signs of the times. You need to watch the beast across the abyss and see what the beast is doing and make sure they're not doing anything weird and be prepared. Or we need to watch whatever else that we need to watch in the Bible. But what he's saying here is saying that what? Just watch me. Look at me. Look at what I am doing. What was he doing, by the way? He was praying, talking to God. And Christ was trying to teach them one of the most important lessons ever taught to mankind. And that is this. That to truly be a disciple of Christ, to truly do what God wants, we must put aside our desires, our wants, and be willing to do whatever God wants us to do. Not my will, but whose? His will be done. This is what Christ is trying to teach the disciples, and it's also what he's trying to teach us right here and right now. Are we doing our will, or are we doing God's will? Do we even know God's will? The question comes to us, are we doing what he wants us to do? What are we watching? What are we watching? Many of us are watching our phones and looking for the text messages and the Facebook notifications. Many of us are watching TV. Nothing bad, okay? I'm not downing these things. Watching TV, watching these other things that are they growing us, or are they taking away from our understanding of who Christ is? What are we watching? Because Christ said, watch me, look at me, pay attention to me, because if you're missing out on this, you're not going to be able to make it to the end. Look at me. Watch what I am doing. Watch what I am doing. This is so important. It's so simple, but so important. Because Christ is going to be asking us to do a very similar thing in these last days to what he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember there that he was praying there on his knees before his Father, prostrate on the ground, right? And as he's praying there three times that prayer, Lord, take this cup away from me, he begins to sweat great drops of blood. Think about it. He's in the wine press. He's being pressed down by the sins of the whole world, being pressed down by the responsibility of bearing the sins of humanity. But his willingness to go to the end is what we need to be watching. Look what it says in verse 41. Continuing on. Verse 41. It says there, I'll begin at the beginning. It says, watch and pray, lest you enter into. So once again, he says to watch and to Why pray? Yes, but listen to this. He's telling them to pray because that's what he is doing. Simple. I'm praying, wash me and do what I do. Because this is how I... Listen, Christ is saying to them, I am being tempted right here and right now myself. I'm being tempted to not give my life for the whole world. Satan is tempting me right now, but I'm showing you the way to overcome temptation. I'm showing you the way. It's not easy. Was it easy for Christ to do that, what he did? Was it a simple thing? Was it an easy thing? Of course not. Of course not. But he said, watch me. I'm going to show you how to do the hard things. The things that make a difference. So watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is... So I got another question for you. Here, verse 41. The spirit indeed is willing. Willing for what? To do what? Willing to follow Jesus, willing to follow God, willing to do his will. Okay, those are all good things. This word is powerful. When I saw this, I was like, whoa, Lord. I need help right here with this one. The spirit indeed is willing. What is the spirit willing to do? And what is the flesh too weak to do? The word there in the Greek, it means... Actually, the word itself is prothumos. What does it mean? Or what is it? What is the word? Prothumos. And it's actually the conjunction of two words, one being pro or for or before or ahead, for, and the other being, guess what? Passion, and the root word for that one is sacrifice. He is for sacrifice. The spirit is willing to sacrifice. I get no amens. Because no one wants to sacrifice, right? Right? I mean, sacrifice what? I don't want to sacrifice anything. I don't want to be comfortable. We live in America, right? Of course, we don't sacrifice here. No, what God is saying is that the Spirit, when you listen to me, when you look at me, when you watch me, you will be willing to sacrifice as I am willing to sacrifice. You know what? I know I'm not willing at this point to sacrifice like Christ sacrificed. But he's telling me here that if I watched him, if I looked at him, I would be willing to do exactly what he was able to do for us. Amen? But oftentimes we are not disciples of Christ. We are simply a fan club of Christ. We love to cheer him on, saying, oh yes, go Jesus. He's great. I love him. He's amazing. Look at what he does. Look at how he works. Look at how much he gives to others. I love Jesus. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Go Jesus. But Christ is not simply asking us to be his fan club. He's asking us to participate in what he did in his own life. To be willing to get through and to sacrifice as he sacrificed. Because in those sacrifices comes so much blessing. Giving to others, in giving of ourselves, we receive more than we ever would before. Amen? It's a law of nature. Think about this. The Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea, right? But does anything flow out of the Dead Sea? What happens? It all remains, right? There's no outlet for it to give to anyone else. It just goes into this pot. And because of that, it's not called the Living Sea. It's called the Dead Sea. Because it does not give. It does not. And our whole nature is built on this thing of sacrificing or giving. It's all built around that. What do we breathe? We breathe oxygen, right? Where do we get the oxygen from? Plants. And what do plants receive in order for them to live? And who gives that? A cycle, right? Of giving and receiving. Our whole nature is built off of this thing. We are. What if you said, oh, I don't, that's my carbon dioxide. I don't want to give it to anyone. No. Let me put a plastic bag over my head and keep my carbon dioxide all to myself. What will happen? You'll die. Because what you give to someone else that makes life actually would, if you kept it to yourself, it would cause your own death. To give is to live. To give is to live. Oh man, if I could only understand this fully myself, of what it really means to give of myself to the Lord, to be willing to sacrifice, willing to give what my will is to Him. I mean, it's so easy to do whatever I want to do. Like, if I want to do this, I'm going to go ahead and do it. How many times do I actually ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go today? What plan do you want for me today? The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered in the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. The God is saying, I want to take you by the hand and lead you in the way, but will you take my hand today? Will you allow me to allow you to follow me? I don't know about you, but I want that. How about you? Do you want that?
Amen.
To be led by God? Amazing. Amazing. I remember one time I was in Hawaii, and I was preaching out in the island of Kauai. Any of you ever been there before? Kauai? Yeah, quite a few. Awesome. I was preaching at the, was it Lawai Valley? No, it was the Kapa'a Church. And I was preaching there. I had to drive about 45 minutes to get there. And so I'm on my way to get there, and I was a little bit late, you know. Running late is as normal, unfortunately. And I was getting there, and I passed this man on the road, and he had his finger up, which means he's trying to get somewhere, right? He's hitchhiking. So I'm like, oh, man, I'm late already. I can't pick this guy up and take him somewhere. I got to go. So I, boom, right past him. And about 5 minutes, I'm like, Lord, oh, man. The Lord's like just speaking, like, Wesley, what are you doing? You need to go back and get that guy. So, oh, no, Lord, I'm late, Lord. I got to go. Doing my will, not his will. And it's something, I'm going to preach, right? That's a good thing. I got to get there. I got to get there on time. Lord, help me. I got to go. But the Lord's like, no, Weston, you need to pick that guy up and be like me. Okay, so Lord, I'll turn around. So I bust the Yui, come back around. I go pick him up. Like, hey, man, where are you going? This way. Kapa'a. All right, cool, man. Let's hop in. He hops in. Start driving, start talking a little bit, like, hey, how are we from? What are you doing here? How long you been here? Get to know each other a little bit. And I reach into my pocket, I pull out a couple glow tracks. I'm like, here, man, read these. They're awesome. He takes them and begins to read them. I actually didn't know where I was going, and I had my GPS, but it was leading me to the wrong area. So I was like, okay, man, where are you going? And I was like, okay, I'm going right up there, about 5 minutes up, and I'll just point it out to you. So I was like, okay, man, we're driving. Oh, right there. And I pull over, like, okay, this is where he needs to go, where I need to go. And it just so happened that where I pulled over, there's a big sign right there. Seventh-day Adventist Church. Right there. I was like, oh, praise the Lord. This worked out well. So he got out and walked down the road to the beach. I walked into the church. And I thought that was the end of the story, right? Well, I'm preaching. I get to preach. I'm preaching about GLOW and about how God uses this ministry. And all of a sudden, this guy, he walks in the back of the church. And he's like, oh, wow, that's the guy that picked me up today. And he walks up to into the church. He sits down and begins to engage in the worship. And I was like, wow, Lord, what if I hadn't picked that guy up today? He wouldn't have been in church. There's so many opportunities I realize in my life that I miss because I'm not listening to the Spirit of God. I'm not willing to sacrifice my own plans for the good of others. Amen?
Amen.
I know it's true for me. I know it's true for you too. I guarantee it is. And what God's asking us to do is to be willing to give of ourselves to others, to be in communion with Him. Amen?
Amen.
This is so important. It's so important that we are able to hear the voice of God. God desires to speak to us. Don't think that He only spoke to the Old Testament individuals and shared His will with them or just with Christ. He is desiring to speak to us right here, right now today. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I believe it. But are we willing to listen? The Bible says in Psalm 50. No. Isaiah 50, sorry. Isaiah 50 and verse 4, it says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my, guess what? ear to hear as the learned? Are we willing to listen to God's voice? That word learned, it says, I'm given the tongue of the learned and the ear of the learned. What does it mean to be learned? Educated. In actuality, the word itself means to be disciplined. You know what they used to use back in the old day with herding sheep? The goads, little prickly thing that kind of prodded them along in the right direction. It kind of hurt a little bit, but it got them in the right line. That's what that word is talking about. Being prodded into the correct way. Are we willing to allow God to like prod us along? It might hurt a little bit sometimes, but He will get us to where we need to be. If we'll only listen to Him. That's what I want to do. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Amen. We're in Matthew 26 still, I believe, if you're still there. Looking at one more verse. Look what it says in verse 56. We see that the disciples have finished praying, or Christ finished praying. Now the company of men come from the priest, and they're going to take Christ away. And Peter cuts off the ear of Malchus, and they're about to leave. And look what it says in verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures and of the prophets might be fulfilled. And all the disciples did what? Now, what does it mean to be a disciple again? I thought I meant to follow Jesus, not to forsake Him. Because of their lack of being able to watch Christ and seeing the way He sacrificed, because of their fear, because they did not go to God in prayer as Christ did, they forsook Him and fled away. And that's exactly what we'll do if we do not spend time looking at Christ and becoming more like Him. When the hard times come, when the difficulties come, we'll just run away. But God's saying, no, stay right with me. Stay right with me. Yes, it might be hard, but I'm here. I'm going before you to prepare the way and make it easier for you. Come with me. I'm so glad that John followed after a while and that Peter followed after a while too, because we wouldn't even know what would have happened if that wasn't the case. I want to be a true follower of Christ. We're told in Revelation 14 about the 144,000. And one of the key characteristics of these people is that they follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Amen? I want to be a part of that group. I want to be a person that's willing to sacrifice. That is true love. That is what love is all about. That's not the kind of love we talk about, though. You know, we have what's it called? That one holiday coming up here? Ah, yeah. I'm single, so I don't worry about that yet, you know? Kind of. That's all good. Be thankful. But we have this holiday, Valentine's Day, all about love and flowers and chocolates and all lovey-dovey, Cupid, boom! Right? And we call that love. And I'll give it to you. Part of it seems like what love is in some respect, you know? It's marketed today quite a bit. But what we see here in Matthew chapter 26, that is true love. That is love in action. A love that's willing to give of oneself. To sacrifice our own personal desires, our own personal wants, our own personal feelings. And say, I know I feel like this, but what do you want? What's going to be better for someone else? That is true love. True love is sacrifice. And the more we learn that, the more this church is going to fill up, the more Christ's name is going to be glorified, the more we're going to see people say, oh, wow, you guys are not only calling yourselves Christians, you're actually like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I want. I know you do as well. So how are we going to get it? Prayer. Who said that? Amen. Watching who? Jesus, I encourage you to spend some time each day watching Jesus. Amen? Amen? Spend some time in the morning pulling out that Bible and looking at the last scenes of Christ's life. looking at what he did for us, looking at how he sacrificed himself for us. And as we do that, we'll become more and more like him. Amen? It's irresistible. It's going to happen. If we spend time with him, our mind will be drawn to him throughout the day. And we'll become more and more like Christ. The Bible says that he who lives according to the flesh sets his mind on the things of the flesh. But he that lives according to the Spirit sets his mind on the things of the Spirit. We must set our minds on heavenly things. And as we do that, God will bless us. He'll make us more like Christ. And we'll see a change in this world, in our lives, and in the lives of those we come in contact with. This is real stuff, man. I'm going to share a quote with you as I close here. It's from Desire of Ages, page 623. It says, "The law of self-sacrifice is the law of self-preservation." That makes sense? Think about it. The law of self-sacrifice is the law of self-preservation? But it's true. The more we give, the more we receive. It says, so in human life, to give is to live. The life that will be preserved the life that will be preserved is the life that is freely given in service to God and man. Those who, for Christ's sake, sacrifice their life in this world will keep it unto eternal life. Amen? If we sacrifice now, we will receive a greater treasure then. And I believe even as we sacrifice now and give ourselves now, God will bless us now as well. Amen? I believe that. So I want to ask you this morning, if there's someone here that says, you know what, Lord? I want to watch you. If there's someone here that says, I want to watch you more closely and spend more time watching you than I have before, just raise your hand. Amen. God sees your hands here, beloved. And if there's someone here that says, you know what, Lord, I don't only want to watch you more, but as I watch you, I want to become willing. The Spirit is willing. I want to become more willing to sacrifice and serve for others. If you want to say that as well, I just want to ask you to stand with me this morning. I want to be willing to do God's will. And God will make it happen. You know, I really believe that Christ is coming soon, amen? We're on the very cusp of eternity, I believe. And I believe that right now is a very pivotal time for us in our lives. For me especially. God's been teaching me every day. Wesley, what are you doing? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your life, with your words? Are you serving me or are you serving yourself? And God's been working on me, like working me over big time, especially this week. Like, Wesley, who are you living for? Yourself or for me? So I encourage you to ask those questions to yourself often. God's asking me that question. I believe it's helping to change my mindset. As we go from here, I believe God wants to bless us, but we must commit ourselves to serving him. And I'm glad that those of us that are standing here have done that. I'm going to say a word of prayer here, of blessing, and we're going to have a closing song, I believe, and then we'll have the benediction and leave this place. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we are weak. I feel my weakness every day, dear God. When Christ said the Spirit indeed is willing and the flesh is weak, I identify most readily with that weak fleshly individual. But Lord, I thank you for the power you give us to make us strong, to make us willing, Lord, to sacrifice as Christ sacrificed, to be able, Lord, to live our lives not for ourselves, but for other people. I pray, Lord, as we are standing here, that you would strengthen us, that you would empower us, because that's the only way that any good thing will take place. So we ask you this morning, Lord, to enter into our hearts once again. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with a willingness to serve you. We thank you, Lord, and pray these things in the name of Jesus and for our sake. Amen. Amen. And amen.